Thanks, team. Good morning, everyone. How are you? All right? I'm going to press in a little bit, get some response from you. Now, Bruce, I had coffee with Bruce through the week, and he promised me, he was sitting there thinking, is he going to raise this or not? And so I said to him, I expect a few amens from him today, like a few bit of help, all right? So Bruce, you can sit in the front row, or if you give me a few amens, you can stay where you are. But if it's a bit quiet for the first 15 minutes, then it'll be front row for you, okay? Is that all right? Good on you. All right. So Bruce is my friend. I can get away with that, I think. I'll check afterwards. Just a couple of things. We did have a little bit of a hiccup with the power this morning. There's a couple of our circuits or something that aren't working. We had a quick look as amateurs, and we'll get someone onto that. If Zach's online, Zach, if you're online, we'll get it looked at through the week. But today, there's just the foyer lights and the men's toilet lights, but there's a window there so you can see. But you know the biggest problem of all is the coffee machine. For some reason, the PowerPoint to the coffee machine this morning. So we have an urn there. You can stay and have some fellowship and some coffee or whatever, but the coffee machine is just told us it doesn't want to work today, all right, with the something with the power. So it's not something to be played with. So we had a quick look and see what we could do, but we couldn't find anything obvious. So we'll have to leave it to the guys who know the place a bit. Anyway, just to mention that to you. So look, I'm finishing off a series. I've been really looking forward to sharing with you today. Each of the sessions of a six-part series I've done. I've done it over a fair time, so I keep on wanting to just remind you, at the start of the next one, but I know that if I start doing that today, I'm going to get caught up in, because I have really enjoyed sharing with you. I hope you've enjoyed it a little bit, but I've really enjoyed sharing with you. And the theme has been just some keys. It's always interesting when the word keys is in your series, isn't it? But, these are just some keys to building intimacy with God. And I know that we talk about the church as a bride, and really what that means to us is that everything else we do flows out of our relationship with Him. We can serve Him faithfully, and we can do a lot of, a lot for the ministry, if you like. We can sort of serve in all sorts of ways. And that's all part of it too, because we talk about the church as an army, don't we? The church is a family. And so there's aspects of contribution and the way that we work together. And that's really relevant too. But what we like to say is that everything we do, all our service, everything we do flows out of our relationship with God and our intimacy with Him. Because really without that, it really lacks, the spiritual life that He purposed for us to have in our serving Him. So we're up to part six. I did talk about dependence and trust. We did talk about just understanding, understanding His way, not just knowing about Him, but understanding His way. That was the second one. I may have to just check back. But the third one, I think, was gratitude. We looked at gratitude and just how having a heart of gratitude builds intimacy with Him. And then the fourth one that we looked at was, I'll just get the right wording for you, is priority time. And it wasn't just about, you've got to have your devotions, you've got to do this, but it's really understanding the purpose of that, your priority time. And we looked at Ecclesiastes 10:10 that talked about how, when you're cutting wood, you've got to stop and sharpen the axe from time to time. And so that's the same with us, isn't it? Spiritually, emotionally, physically, we need to have time with Him and priority time to be refreshed, just in our relationship with Him. The one that I did last time, which I kind of again really enjoyed, it's focus on what you admire. And isn't that right with any relationship? If we focus on the things that we don't understand, well, and that's okay. We talked about how it's okay to ask God questions, but always in the context of we focus on what we admire about Him. And there's so many things that are beautiful about Jesus, isn't there? So many things that are beautiful about God our Father. And so when we focus on that, it actually brings us into intimacy. And today, the last one that I'm going to share on the series is intimacy comes from shared goals and desire. Intimacy comes from shared goals and desire. It works in any setting, really. I'll start with a story. It's just a fairly fresh one. It was last week, and I thought, as I was thinking about it, I thought, this story seems relevant to me. I'd written in my notes when I was preparing the series, I'd written down that, teamwork, team sports, you know, can be an illustration in a positive way and a negative way of what I'm talking about today. Like shared goals and desires bring us close together. And so if you play team sport, I follow the rugby league. Tonight's the State of Origin, Queensland, New South Wales. You know, one of the things I also follow the Manly Sea Eagles, and they make that club, well, they try to, like a lot of the clubs, they try to make it a bit like a family. They try to, you know, look for kids that are playing good football at a young age. They connect them and their families into the club. So, you know, they play week by week with the same guys. And usually you'll see in those club teams, you'll see that they play for each other. And, you know, they're not all good at interviews afterwards. Who's noticed that? The rugby league boys, they're good at rugby league, but not always good at interviews. So when they get interviewed by the media at the end of the game, they usually say something like, well, the boys, I'm proud of the boys, you know, proud of the boys. They all did a good job today, and they kind of say that, they're proud of the boys. It's always like, maybe it's the team line, but you do pick up a little bit of sincerity in that, like, we did this together, we couldn't have done it on our own. When everybody came, you know, came and did their part, you know, we as a team performed. And the guy who scored 4 tries on the wing, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry, the whole message isn't about footy today. But the guy who scored the 4 tries on the wing, he had no hope of doing that unless everybody in between where the ball was at the start of the play and him getting the ball was just totally impossible. So he'd be a fool to stand up and beat his chest and say, I'm the guy who scored 4 tries today. Now, he can feel pleased with himself, but, you know, he'll usually be quick to acknowledge the team. And there's something about a team that trains together and goes through the grueling aspects of training together and whatever. You know, the thing I noticed with the State of Origin is that what they do is they get the best players out of each team and they bring them together, all the guys that were raised in New South Wales, play all the guys that are raised in Queensland. There's a lot of rivalry there. But those guys aren't used to playing together. And they're not even used to necessarily, some of them are, if they get a combination of guys that usually play together, they play for each other. But generally what you notice is everyone's playing for themselves a little bit because they're all pretty good players and they're sort of wanting to stand out. And obviously the selections for the Australian team come from a lot of the players in those games. And so they just want to stand out. So they're not necessarily playing for the team entirely. Look, they still are. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to make a point that sometimes what happens is they play for themselves, not play for the team. And intimacy doesn't come through that. Did something just happen? Anyway, hopefully we'll end up with at least some seats at the end of the day, all right? So the team, like when they're representing, they're kind of playing for themselves in a lot of ways. And so, you know, a team sport can be a positive thing, or a team sport can be, in some ways, it can show up the absence of playing for each other and playing for self. So shared goals and desires bring intimacy. We actually, something happens when you grow together. Last Saturday, so not yesterday, but the week before, we had the opportunity to use a bus and drive a group of our local rugby league players over to Ivanhoe. Now, I don't know if you know Ivanhoe. Ivanhoe's a 4-hour drive. And then if you add a few stops along the way, then it's kind of a 5-hour drive. So we left in the morning and then we drove the guys over. I had a driver, but I went with him just to keep him company. And just I was really keen to connect with some of the guys. I sort of know them when I see them, but I wanted to really connect. And you know, when you travel over 5 hours together, when I got on the bus, so my name is Trevor, they called me T-Rev. That was my nickname right from when I got on the bus, so T-Rev. And then they said, is that okay? Like, is that not just, we respect you, we don't want to... No, I said, I'm happy with that nickname. There was a lot worse than that one, so let's stick with that one so we don't get a worse one, right? So that's, isn't that how it works? Like, I reckon you send your kids to school, you send them with a nickname that you like so that they don't inherit one that you don't like. Is that good? Good strategy, parents, or what? So anyway, so I'm T-Rev for the day. And then they sort of told me, am I going to say a prayer for them and, you know, whatever. I don't know that the trip was ever quiet enough to ever get a prayer in. But anyway, I was thinking of them. And then when I got there, they wanted me to do a job to help be one of the officials or something. I had to do a job because they needed someone to do a job. And then, you know, at the end of the day, they were missing 6 or 8 of their best players. And so there was a few recruits and whatever, and they were really excited to go and play. But they were kind of the underdogs, you know. And they got off to a good start and they were ahead. And in the end, they had played really well and they lost lost by 4 points, and they played really well. So you'd think they'd won. You'd think they'd won the State of Origin. They were so pleased with their performance. And then they were saying to me, because you're here, that's the cleanest game we've ever played. We never got into any fights. So I'm thinking, that's pretty good. That's my contribution to the game. I'm glad I wasn't out there tackling anybody because it was pretty challenging. But you know the thing, where I'm getting to the story is, and why I'm taking a few precious minutes for it is, you know, at the end of the day, we'd travelled together in the bus. We'd got there on time. They'd gone and done their training. We were helping to get their water bottles and just do a few things. Wasn't much we could do. We wanted to be part of what was happening. And then I was there officiating, went over at halftime, said, you guys, you make me proud, you know, from around. You're doing a great job. And so then at the end, you know, they said, we're going to do a team photo, but we want Trevor and John to come over and be in the bus drivers over in the team photo. And again, I know that might not mean a lot, but there was something that had built because our goal was to get there, not necessarily even to win. The goal was to get there and to play a good game and a clean game, which, you know, that may be a miracle in itself. I'm not sure. The boys seemed to think it was pretty miraculous. So they, and then on the way home, of course, you know, I learned a few words that I thought I knew them all, but, you know, and it was an interesting journey home. But, you know, a few conversations struck up with the boys saying, hey, you know, can I catch up sometime? Can we chat sometime? Or, you know, whatever. And I just thought, Lord, this is why I'm here, you know. But the whole point of that was I was just thinking that when you have a similar goal, when you're aiming for something, when you have like an objective that you share together, then there's an intimacy that grows from that. And so what our heart is in this, like the take home from this today would be, you know, what is God's heart? What is God's goal? What is God's goal for you? And what is God's goal for us in our community, in our world? And I think, we'll head to a couple of really obvious places. I won't take a long time. I'll head to a couple of obvious places. I want to show a little video too today, and I'm going to get a testimony from Becca as well that'll fit into what we're talking about. So that's where we're heading today, okay? So I want to start with Jeremiah 29. And there's a verse that's fairly well known to many if you've been on the journey a while. Jeremiah 29:11 is one that we often talk about. People often quote. So what I want to do is I want to look at verse 11 and then I want to look at the context of it a little bit and just say, what is the context of this chapter? I won't take a long time on it, but I do just want to introduce us to the context because I think this fits our theme today, that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. Amen. Good, good, good. All right, you can stay sitting next to your wife for a bit longer, but you better pick your game up a bit, Bruce, all right? And I know it's contagious. I know if you do it a few times, I mean, if I'm not giving you enough stuff to say amen to, then that's fair enough, because I don't want you to be insincere about it. But if I give you something good enough, then you can join me, all right? How you going? You all right? Still love me? All right, cool. Amen. Say amen. Still love me, Bruce? Amen. Amen. That was an appropriate time to say amen. Alright, Jeremiah 29:11 says this, says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. This is the New Living Translation. Some others bring out some different wording there. But they are plans for good. And I like the way that he then says, and just to make it clear, not for evil or not for disaster. It depends which translation. So he's not only saying these plans are plans for good, but he's actually reinforcing that by saying they're not for disaster and they're not for evil. So that doesn't mean everything will go smooth. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it means that he has a plan for us. Now, and then he goes on and says, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. There's something about intimacy in there, isn't there? In amongst recognizing and acknowledging his plan for your life. Now, the thing that I've found interesting over the years in this is some translations say, I know the thoughts I have for you. So I love interchanging that because I think he has thoughts, but his thoughts are plans that are for good. So what he's doing is he's thinking about you. So he hasn't just said, oh, have you got some plans for me? Yep, look, I'll open the drawer and here's the plans, right? Or whatever. He's thinking about you. And as he thinks about you, what he's thinking is he's thinking plans for you. And those plans are only good. They're not plans of evil. Now, they might mean taking you through challenging times because good will come out of that. You know, sometimes there is things that we go through that are his purpose for us, but he says, I'm there with you and I give you grace for that. And what I teach you will actually prepare you and position you for great things into the future. All right? That's what I think his heart is. There are other times, though, where things that come upon our life, and he doesn't want us to put up with those. There are things the enemy tries to bring into our life, and we're to fight those things. So we embrace what we think is God's, things that he's taken us through. But the things of the enemy, you know, we can say, we have authority over the enemy, and we can say, no, I'm not having that. Amen. Amen. I'm not having that. I'm not having that, you know, because, you know, it's not like we embrace everything. But not everything absolutely easy and comfortable is from God, and everything uncomfortable is from the devil. It's not. It's just not the way it is. But there are things that come to destroy us and harm our relationships. Devil, you just find your place. I'm going to stand against you, and I'm going to, you know, tell you what the truth is. Not what I think. I'm going to tell you what the truth is about how you're a defeated foe and how you have no right to come and break down my relationships, or you have no right to come and to interfere in my life. Now, we live in an imperfect world, and we face challenges all the time, don't we? It's not like a perfect, smooth sailing thing. In some ways, I don't mind that. I don't ask for trouble. But sometimes, I don't mind that life's a bit of an adventure and a bit of a challenge. Do you? I don't mind that it's not always easy. Is that right? But I don't want to tolerate anything of the enemy that comes to kill and to steal and to destroy God's plan and purpose for my life. And so there's this sense whereby we quote this verse and we say, I know the plans I have for you. Thank you, Lord, your plans and your thoughts are only good, you know, because you have this future for me. But just to quickly read in the context, and I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I want us to see the context of this verse that we so often talk about. Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiachin, the queen mother, the court officials, the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to skip the next paragraph if you don't mind, because it's got a heap of names in there that are hard to pronounce. But it says, it finishes with, this is what Jeremiah's letter said. So a letter from Jeremiah came to who? The people who were where? Having a picnic down the park? No, they were people that had been deported from Jerusalem, or people that were banished and had been exiled. That's the word I'm looking for. And so it's not an easy thing for them. All right, they're not in this comfortable place. But here's what the letter is that contains verse 11. But here's the letter for us. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Now, when I read that bit, I thought, yeah, I'm doing that. You know, four kids, all married, few grandchildren coming along. A few of you asked me about Kirsten. Kirsten's been in Wagga this week. That's our oldest daughter who's having a bub. They're a bit concerned about her, so I had her in Wagga for the week, staying near the hospital. And nothing's happened, so they're going to induce her at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So Sandra's just left to go over and to be with her after playing the piano for us this morning. But she's there. So appreciate your prayer through the afternoon for Kirsten, just to mention that. So it says, you know, make this your home, and like, don't sit there with your chin down. That's really what it's saying. Don't sit there and thinking, how am I going to escape this? Say, you know what, Lord, I just sense, somehow I sense you're with me. You don't have to sense it, you just trust what he said. You're with me, you're with us here. And so, build homes, plan to stay, plant gardens, eat the food that they produce, marry and have children, find spouses for them so that they may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Isn't that, like, I just love that passage. I've been inspired by that so many times. But wherever you find yourself, you know, don't just become like, well, what am I doing here or whatever. You know, like, just say, whatever brought me here. You know, if it's something that we feel the enemy's got a part in some way, well, you know what? We say, Lord, we thank you that you've given me authority. And I'm standing up against this. And I know circumstances can change. I know in the midst of it, you're here with me. Whatever. You just declare truth about that situation. But, you know, many times we find ourselves maybe in a challenging place. But somehow we sense that, well, this is where God has put us. And he hasn't left us alone. And he's given us grace for this situation. You know, that's one of the things about, and I don't want to get too sidetracked on this, but it's coming into my mind, and I feel it's probably worth mentioning, is that one of the things about taking offence is that sometimes we take offence for other people. You know, we kind of, we get involved in someone's situation and we take offence for that. But I remember hearing once someone talking about that. Offence is not given, offence is taken. And I've got no really reason, there's nothing in my mind that's happening that makes me want to say this. I'm feeling like it's just I need to say it today, so maybe it's for somebody. But, you know, the whole thing of offence is not given, it's taken. And then what happens is we take other people's offences, but we don't have grace for that. So we can go on, you know, feeling offended by what's happened to someone else, but yet what happens is God's given that person grace to work through it and find forgiveness and find their way through, and yet we're still carrying an offence. Does that make sense? Kind of feel like that's a whole big sermon in itself, but it just came into my mind and I thought, oh, well, I'll just mention it. Because wherever we find ourselves, God gives us grace for that. You know, whether it's something that we've brought on ourselves and then we realize we've made a mistake and we say, Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't follow your way. But you know, the thing is, he'll always redeem our life. He'll always bring us back to his blueprint. We shared about this recently. And so when we think about shared goals and desires, God's heart for us and God's plans for us, sometimes circumstances don't seem to indicate that he's really on our side. Sometimes our circumstances don't seem to indicate that he's right there in the middle of it with you. But he promised he would be. And if we can keep our eye on what his goal is for us and what his goal is for our community, then when we live in a place here, like I live in Narendra, I'm proud of Narendra. You know, there are plenty of faults if you ask me, but I don't think about that too much. I think, Lord, you've put me here. You've put me here for a purpose. And we, you know, and so, Lord, if you wanted me to go somewhere else, I'm willing to do that. But for decades now, he said, no, I just want you there. Just doing faithfully what I've given you to do. You know what I mean? So I just love it. I say, well, Lord, I'm going to seek the prosperity and the good of our community. And I feel like, well, that starts spiritually, but it also starts by, you know, going to bat for some of the things that we see in town that need to be helped and supported. And so I get involved in some community things, and I'll be careful that I don't get distracted, because the biggest part of it is our spiritual input, isn't it, into the community. Like, if we lose the potency of the gospel, then what happens is then we just become social, social contributors into our community, which is not a bad thing. But the biggest thing he's given us is the gospel, hasn't he, to bring to it. Why do I say that? Because that's a shared goal. If we want to understand his desires and his goals, then really it's to bring the gospel, isn't it? To every person within our community, within our nation ultimately, and within our world. But we find where he's put us, that's our priority. That's what our heart is, to do what he's given us to do. And so Jeremiah 29, when you think of Jeremiah 29:11, you know, I know the plans that you have for me, says the Lord, or that I have for you. Really, it's Jeremiah speaking on behalf of the Lord and telling us God is saying he's got a plan for you. He's not going to leave you in this place. Before that, though, he said, wherever you find yourself, you found yourself in exile, well, you know what? Just start building houses. Just start, you know, marrying, to start living life to its full, the way I intended, to multiply and make a contribution for the prosperity of that community where you find yourself. So work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. And then he goes on to talk about there's some false prophets that are trying to say other things, but don't listen to them, because this is what God is doing in this time and this season. And I won't go into that too much. You know, he goes down to verse, so I'll skip the bit that'll take a bit of time, and we get down to verse 11 again. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. That's the promise of the Lord. But in the meantime, he says, I want you just to live life to its full and realize that I am there with you. So God's goals and desires for us, even in the midst of challenging circumstances, actually get us closer to him. We actually find intimacy in that place of understanding, what's your purpose in this, Lord? What are you trying to do in this? What are you trying to say in this situation? You know, I've found over the years, And I haven't lived as long as some, but I've lived a fair while. And you know, what I've found over the years is God doesn't ever leave us stuck in a challenging and difficult situation for longer than we can bear. You know what I mean? And sometimes I think, oh Lord, this is just a challenge. This is hard. I'm willing to ask, what do you want to do in this season? Lord, what are you trying to teach me? How are you growing me? What can I contribute into this situation? And I find that there comes a time where he says, okay, you've done what I needed. And now he either releases me from that involvement in that, or he releases me from something. Somehow he makes circumstances shift. And I just think, you know, God, you know what I can bear. You know what I've got grace for. And you help me with that. So to jump from Jeremiah 29:11 to Psalm 37 and verse 4, it's one that we, again, so today what I'm just doing is giving you some of the ones that we talk about a bit, but I'm just bringing it into the context of what I'm talking about today, and that is that shared goals and desires bring us into intimacy with God, just like they bring us into intimacy in any relationship, bring us into closeness in any relationship. So this verse 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Now, we've talked about this a lot over the years, and one of the things that we bring out is that it's not like if I take delight in the Lord, then he's just going to, whatever I think about that I want, he's going to give it to me. It actually is twofold. It says that what he will do is, and I like to put it this way, it's a bit catchy, but I like to put it this way, he will plant and then grant the desires. So it's not like, well, whatever I think about, that's what he's going to give me. Ah, yeah, I want a, you know, blue bike or want a whatever, he's going to give it to me. But what it is that what he will do is, if I delight in him, what he'll do is he'll shift my heart so that I'll begin to love what he loves. He will actually plant the desires in my heart. And so there's two things I think we can get out of that. One is, you know, sometimes we struggle with temptation, or we struggle with things that we know are not good and pleasing to the Lord. And you know what we can do? We can really fight to try and get those things off. And it's okay to sort of make resolve and be resolved in decisions like that. But in the end, what happens is it's such a struggle, isn't it, to overcome temptation, to change habits that we know are a bit harmful in our life. Those things are challenging and difficult. And you know, the answer really is found in this. It says if we think about him and what we love about him, what he'll do is he'll shift the desires of our heart, that he'll actually shift them away from the things that are trying to grip us and take us down destructive paths. You know, some lustful thoughts and lustful desires and other things, you know, that are there, that are part of our makeup but get distorted sometimes in all sorts of ways, greed and sexual things or whatever. You know, they can all be strong temptations. And what do you got to do? You got to try and fight them. Well, it's good to have a resolve and say, I don't want this. But the way to win with it is to let his desires begin to take up residence in your heart. Does that make sense? I know that when I kind of got a hold of that, that was real relief for me. It's not like fighting things that are not good in your life, but it's actually filling your life with things that are good. Psalm 119, that's the longest one, isn't it? The longest psalm, so many verses, and so many of them are just about the word. But one of them says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Isn't that? So what is the way to overcome temptation? Is hide his word in your heart. Because when we think about what we delight about him, when we hide his word in our heart, when we begin to embrace his goals and desires, what happens is then he does plant his desires there. And then when he plants his desires, because they're his desires, they're good for us, so what does he do then? He grants those desires. Is that right? So it's not like I wish for things that are not going to be helpful and he gives them to me. I think sometimes he does just let us go our own way, and we have to then come to a point where we say, you know what, I should have listened to him, I went my own way and now I'm turning from that. But the moment we repent from that and come back to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I was following my own way, but I want to come back to what you want, what he does is he picks that up and he restores it and makes it something beautiful in our life. So take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Meaning he puts the desires there and then he will grant them to you or fulfill them in your life. In my New Living Translation study Bible, it's got some things down the bottom, a little comment about many of the verses. And I just looked up what it is to take delight in the Lord. And it says here, to take delight in the Lord means, and I love this, aligning with the Lord's way in order to enjoy him. Aligning with the Lord's way in order to enjoy him. And there's joy in His presence, isn't there? So it all makes sense. It all adds up. I love that. To take delight in the Lord means to align with aligning with the Lord's way in order to enjoy Him. Our recent conference that we had, a state conference we had in Orange, and a few of us were there. What we did was we the theme was Dream Again. And then underneath was a bit of a phrase that explained that. Dream Again is realigning with Jesus' primary mission. Realigning with Jesus' primary mission. So this is talking about take delight in the Lord, aligning with His way in order to enjoy Him, to realign. We often need to do that, don't we? I loved what you shared, Jono, today. Thanks for sharing that. Because, you know, it is that sense of remember, you know, He said, remember this until I come. And it's from this period of His ascension to when His promised return is here that He wants us to keep fresh in our mind the things that He said and the things that He's promised and the things that He wants to be for us and the plans and the purposes that He has for our life. He wants us to keep it fresh. And I know you shared it very well, like there are memorable moments that we never forget, but it's remembering the next step of that, the implications of that, and what that means for us, and what that means for us every day, so that we can make it fresh every day, that we call on Him every day, we're aware of His presence every day. How beautiful is that? And so to take delight in Him is to align ourselves to just, and when you align, what do you got to do? You got to keep checking. Is that right? When you're aligning, you keep checking. You have something to check it against. When you daily spend a little bit of time in the Word, doesn't have to be like this obligatory ritual, 5 chapters a day so you can, you know, get through the Bible in a year. If that's what God wants you to do, go for it. But even just open it up and get a couple of gems that just give you something fresh for the day. It keeps you aligned, doesn't it? It keeps you connected and focused and thinking about the right things. And so there's this sense of alignment with what is in His heart. So when we align with the Lord's way, we then find that we enjoy Him and we find greater intimacy, which is what my message is all about this morning. And so at this conference we said, well, what is it to realign with God's primary mission? And so then we said, well, we think that's just being able to share your faith. Every person, every believer, a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And every believer able to just share their story. Every believer able to, not just bring people to church, although it's beautiful. Everyone's welcome and it's great to have some visitors today. Really love having you with us. We get excited to have visitors come and join us, and trust that you're enjoying your time with us today. But if you're visiting, but you know, we love all that. But you know, it's more than that. It's the church on Monday and the church on Tuesday. It's us being Jesus in our community every day, isn't it? Because we all have a ministry and we all have a part to play, and we're all followers and disciples, and we're all called to be influential in helping others to become disciples too. That's His primary mission. So we invite a couple of speakers that just help us to have some practical things that we can use, tools that we can use just for each of us. We're not all evangelists, but we're all called like Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. So we have ways that we can share our story, or the ways that we can share the gospel in simple terms. And so we came back from the conference, and in our Men's Connect group, we shared it. In our Ladies Connect group, we shared some of these things. And so the other day with the youth, Friday, a week ago, there was opportunity to share this 3 circles with the youth. And what I'd like to do now is I'd like us, because I think this is something that's really God's heart for us all, is to be able to put the gospel in simple terms to those who are around us. Like Peter says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies in us. So I thought what would tie in this morning well would be to play the video. And this is a 3-minute video. And then I'm going to invite Becca up to just share a little bit with what's happening in the youth. So you know that Beck's been here since the beginning of May, just working with our youth. I'm really proud of her. She's doing a great job. And God's just, it's God, isn't it? God's just doing some stuff. But I just think it's just really timely. And we're really glad to have you here, Becca. And I thought the church would be interested just to hear from you a little bit about how the youth is going. But start with how that 3 circles was as we shared that with some of our youth, all right? So we'll watch the video, get back up, and then you'll be able to say heaps of amens, to Becca's story. And all right, here we go. Thank you. Okay, thanks, Beck. So I know many of you have been asking and praying for Beck with the ministry to the youth. And also Gem and Tone, we've been running a kids program every second Friday with the primary age children as well. And that's been a really just a really big number of kids. I realize how old I am when I walk in there, and I think I'll go and make some fruit or do something quieter in the next room. But, you know, the guys just do it beautifully, and the kids are hearing the gospel, and a foundation's being laid in their life, which I love. So keep praying for that. And I know I say this regularly, but it's not just about kids and youth. We love every generation. We love every part of the church family, from the youngest to the oldest is important. And so we continue just to believe for God to reach into our community. You know, all of this morning, because this is part of shared goals and desires, understanding God's heart and desire. And I think a big part of it is just being able to share our faith and be contagious in a way that we can do. We're not all, you know, stand on the street corner on a soapbox type people, but all of us have a story, don't we? All of us have something that we can share. And so if you think that's a helpful tool, then let me know. We can send you the link, and you can just practice it over and over, and it becomes a tool that you can use to share with people who are in your world and you're praying for and believing for. So Matthew 28 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, the cause of the gospel brings intimacy with God because we share his heart in that. Just two other verses I'll share in a minute when I finish. One quick story. I think I did sort of touch on this during the series already, but, you know, just an illustration of the shared goals and desires brings intimacy. I know for Sandra and I, you know, something that's brought us closer together over the years of our marriage is when we're raising the children and thinking about not just the good times that you celebrate, but some of the challenges you face together. You know, it's interesting. I thought, what is just one example of a challenging time that we, you know, we went through together, that we, you know, that brought us closer together. And I wrote it on my paper, and then I said to her this morning, what would be one? Now, there'd be many, but what would be one? And one of them that she said was exactly the same as me, Nicole, our daughter, who led the worship this morning. You know, she went through a series of period where she had regular pancreatitis attacks, and they were agonizing attacks. And, you know, we would get the message from her husband to say, well, it was probably even before that, but, you know, to say that she's having this attack and into the hospital, and the hospital can't do much, you know. And when you go through things like that, I know the families here, you've been through all sorts of things, both good and bad. And I thought I'll share, there's plenty of things to celebrate, but sometimes you go through challenging things. Maybe this is for someone today. And, you know, you can allow it to tear you apart, or you can allow it to bring you together. You can allow it to get you closer to God, you know, by just understanding his heart and mission. But as a, in any relationship that you have, when you take challenges on together and you share goals and you have the similar outcome and passion, what it does, it brings you closer together, doesn't it? And for us, we just thought that was a season that brought us closer together. You know, we think that Dr. Joe really took it on as a bit of a mystery at the time, and I know that others have faced different challenges health-wise and whatever, and it's a hard journey when you can't get answers, isn't it? But when you're journeying as parents with your children, what's the goal you share? Is that the child will come through and that things will be well, you know? And so, you know, remember, we were in Sydney and they were trying a few things, and so we dropped everything and just to Sydney because we want to be there to see, you know, what's going to happen? How is she doing? You get what I mean? And those things bring you together. Look, all of that just to say, it illustrates this idea that shared goals and desires, whether they are, you know, exciting and celebratory, we want those, don't we? Or whether they're challenging and sometimes we have to press through them together, what it does bring us closer together, whatever setting that might be. So I think that's a great illustration. John 5, just two verses to share and we're done. With the music team, if you're right to do a song, I know Sam's left, but are you happy to come and do a song for us? Just come up, guys, and I'll read these last two verses, we'll finish with a song. Because there's no coffee today, we can just sing all day, it's all right. And the electrician just walked in. Isn't that exciting? Sorry, Zach. Put pressure on you. I'll just read this from John 5. Sorry. 18 to 20, and then verse 30. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him. This is Jesus, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, this is Jesus, just doing ministry, having opposition. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So Jesus said, I just find myself about in the challenge, in the opposition, he said, I just find myself about doing what the Father gives me to do, because the Father loves me. I share my goal and my vision with the Father, and that's what brings us close together. And then verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And then Timothy, just in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, it talks about, the end of verse 3, just talks about God, our Saviour. And then it says in verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, that's the heart. That's the heart of the Father that we can embrace. That's a goal that we can share with Him today. Father, we love Your heart. We love getting to know You. We love that You've removed every barrier through Jesus Christ. You've removed every barrier so that we can walk with You. We can hear from You. Lord, we can speak to You. We can know You and be aware of Your presence with us every moment of every day. Your power and Your presence in our life. Lord, we love that. We love that. And Lord, as human vessels, we need to just be reminded. We thank You that we can gather together and break bread, as Jono said, and we can be reminded. We thank You that we can open Your Word and just remind and refresh our spirit of all that You've done for us, all that You've said about us, of all that You are. Lord, I pray for every single person who's here today, every person who might be watching online. I just pray that, Lord, we will more and more get to know Your heart, that we will just have in our heart, Lord, Your desires, Your goals, not only for us, but for our world and our community, that we can be part of what You're doing, that we can get closer and closer to You, Lord, because we share Your goal for our life. Lord, Your will becomes our will. Your heart becomes our heart. Lord, we experience intimacy through just sharing the goals and the desires that You have. But also, Lord, we know that we will become closer together as a body of people as we share Your desire for our community, as we share Your desire and Your passion, Lord, and Your priority for our world. That we can share the message of the gospel, that we can experience it, first of all, and then we can share it. You know, I just say today, if there's anyone who's here and you've not actually opened your heart to Jesus, maybe you've believed in Him, maybe you've known the story of the gospel that we saw today, but you've never really said, hey, I want to receive Jesus and step out of my brokenness and back into His perfect plan for my life and stop running my own race. Today, even right now, and as we sing this last song, but even right now, you can just say in your heart, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to turn back to You, I want to follow You. And if you make that decision, it says He'll help you, He'll lead you, He'll guide you. But we want to help and lead you too. So if you pray that prayer or make that decision today, I'll just be at the front afterwards. Others are here who you know. Just come and have a chat and say, you know, I made that decision today. I'd love to encourage you and pray with you this morning. Thank you. Thanks, guys. We'll sing this and God bless you.